Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
Welcome to BS Free MD, Cocktails with Cocktails, with your hosts, Drs. Tim, Drs. May Hindmarsh. I pointed in case you don't know our pronouns or couldn't figure it out. What are your pronouns, Tim?
Kick and ass.
Oh, I would like to take care of that.
Or Lord and Savior.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And I have none because this should be self-evident, as we were saying earlier. All right. This is Cocktails with Cocktails, where you, the audience, gets to engage with us. If you're watching on Facebook, Instagram, and
The Rumble,
and
even the YouTube.
You've got the YouTube and the X going.
Yeah, we will not say a word that rhymes with Maxine.
Otherwise, the YouTube disappears.
Yes, it vaporizes. So tonight...
So we're going to actually tell you what's on the show tonight.
Yes. Tonight, anniversaries, our contest, and a shout out, a very, very weird medical condition. You won't guess what's affecting your health now, and I am guaranteed to rant, and my head may explode.
Perfect. People will love that segment.
We say goodbye to a truly amazing person. This story completely caught me off guard. And if we have time, we talk about two Irish physicians that trained us when we were in residency.
Us, I guess. Maybe not mentored us. Maybe mentored your drinking. We'll get to that. It is St. Paddy's weekend coming up
Paddy's
after
Day
it all.
St. Paddy's Day is coming up
and
this
we
weekend.
Do have some green cocktail here for you, sort of. We'll explain why it's green. There you go.
Doesn't look green to me.
No, but the bottle.
We should have had absinthe.
Well, you should have. You weren't thinking.
No, we could have had absinthe.
Or green beer. Anyway, yes. We digress. We digress. Yes. And, the contest. Yes, I do need to show and share what's in the contest.
Yes.
So I will get that. All right.
So anniversaries. 2 days ago, the 11th of March was... the 4th anniversary of COVID. And yes, people are still wearing masks. Remember when Fauci came out and said, we might still be wearing masks in 2022. And I was like, that's insane. Well, it's 2024. Welcome to welcome to
what the virtual reality?
No, it's welcome to a quiet riot. Haha, mama, we're all crazy now.
Yeah, I was thinking of the welcome to the jungle.
I wish I could write. I wish I could play music and not get sued.
You can't hold up your phone and play it?
You can, but you just violated copyright.
Even if it's playing in the background? Desiree will let us
maybe
know.
I don't know. Whatever. I'd love to, because there's lots of music I'd love to like promote, actually, which would be, you know, to their advantage. Okay.
Well,
do you know what else anniversary there was last week?
No. What?
International Women's Day.
Oh.
Or whatever.
Yes. How was I not all over that after all?
It's kind of gone away. There is a woman in the household. We don't know what women are. So I have renamed it Bring Your Vagina to Work Day.
That's perfect.
So his son, Justin Trudeau. Well, every day is International Women's Day to Justin because he brings his vagina to work 100% of the time.
It was on Friday, March 8th, International Women's Day.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. And I missed it. How could that be? I guess I don't really.
It's just kind of gone away.
I don't think I need to celebrate women because you know what? I think we get to celebrate women every day, honestly. And
right. Because you know what? There's no women firefighters. There's no women in the military. There's no women neurosurgeons. There's no women. That's right. Okay. I forgot. And there's more women in the world than men. Because men babies die at a higher rate than women babies. So there's always just a few more women than men.
Yes.
Unless you live in China.
There you go.
In which case, if you're a young male looking for a female spouse, you're screwed.
Well, guess what today is? March 13th. It's actually some national holidays because you know how I like this fodder. National Canine Veterans Day. That's pretty cool.
It is.
So they have some actual.
Did you ever, speaking of canine veterans, did you ever see that video? Honest to God, I was weeping. Literally. It was the last search dog from 9/11, passed away in like 2016 or 17. I mean, the dog was unbelievably old. And they made a video of it.
I think I heard
it
about
was
that.
Walking into the veterinary office. Just completely, and then it walked out in a flag-draped coffin.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like,
that's going to make you cry.
That will not make me cry right now thinking about it. I haven't seen it in like 7 or 8 years.
Can I say Marley and Me and what will happen?
Yeah, well, Marley and Me was gratuitous.
Is that a trigger
stuff.
Word
No, Marley,
for you?
Marley and Me was euthanasia porn. Like, literally, it's like you're putting the dog to sleep for half a freaking hour.
Yeah, well, they had to stretch there.
That was gratuitous. It was euthanasia porn, which, you know, whatever.
Well, there's some other national holidays going on. Apparently, it's Registered Dietitian and Nutritionist Day because, you know, since there's Doctor's Day, now there's Nurses Day and Nutritionist Day.
Administrative Assistance Day.
Ironically, it's also National No Smoking Day.
And National
Coconut Tort Day. So if you're a nutritionist, you get to eat coconut tort.
And National Earmuff Day.
But best of all, it's Ken Day.
If your name is
celebrating Ken. No, Ken. You know, Ken from Barbie.
Good Lord.
He gets his own day.
Yes. Yes, and just like International Women's Day, Ken has no dick. All right.
There you go.
So,
but
talk about
wait, no, but it is a more important day. After all, it is one of our biggest fans' day today. It's her birthday. I have to say, shout out to my bestie Candace. She's probably not here now because she's doing important things like leading a Bible study, and so is not watching. But she can listen to it later. Cheers to you. We have to do a cheers and look each other in the eye. And also, she's one of the biggest fans because if you go on our Instagram page post for the contest, you'll see that she's entered the most times on there. I'm not sure about comments on Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, etc. But you guys all have to beat Candace or she's going to win the prize.
She is over 50. So the social media.
I had to help her maybe on how to do that. Yeah. So that's kind of cheating. I don't know. But should we get to the contest? So
go to the contest. Oh, shout out.
You're the bookkeeper tonight.
Yesterday, our very dear friend Vicky had her birthday as well.
Yes.
And they were just here 2 weeks ago visiting us.
Yeah. So how do I have two besties back to back? It really sucks all my financial Starbucks money out of me in 1 week.
I know. Because those $20 Starbucks gift cards are going to like kill you.
Okay. The contest, everybody. Before we get to the stupid stories of the week and all that, the reason we're here, you're here, what am I talking about, is because of you. And so the contest is open until midnight tonight. So you still have time to enter and win fabulous prizes. And I'll deke over and get it right away.
And just like Chicago, vote early and vote often.
So you can. So there's two prizes. The first goes to the random winner that we pick who comments and likes us on Spotify or Apple or both, as well as YouTube and Rumble. So you can enter on all the four platforms. You can enter on one, but if you do four, you have four times the entry. Also, if you go to our Instagram and Facebook page, there's a contest, real post there, I should say. And all you have to do is share it to your page if you have one. Also, below that, you can enter by tagging a friend. And the more tags, the more entries. That helps you get multiple entries. So tonight at midnight is when the contest closes. We will announce the winner next week because we have to look through all the data. So what do you get to win? So first off, a random drawing for prize number one. Prize number two will actually be whoever has the most heartfelt or unique or funny comment on the posts. So get creative, and we're going to pick the most crazy comment. And Desiree wants you to DM a screenshot of your review.
So we know who posted it.
Because everybody has these handles. And so yeah, it's like Billy Bob 123. I don't know who that is. And
I don't.
I do know who a couple of them are, but a lot of you have handles that aren't your names. So screenshot it and you can email it to us, or you can message us on Facebook or Instagram so we know that you entered. Otherwise, it's going to be tough. What are you going to win, though? This contest is brought to you by, you say it and I'll get it.
A studio filled with grandma's glamorous prizes. Wow. No idea. You're going to get a Yeti BS3MD coffee receptacle, and it seals off. So when you're done drinking coffee, you can turn it into a martini shaker.
You can actually. It closes. You can shake it, and it has a multiple way twist top. And yes, it's very amazingly easy to clean because it all comes apart. I like to demonstrate it.
Thanks, Vanna.
Just like that, two pieces.
No, it wasn't Vanna. It would be Holly from The Price Is. Do you remember Holly from The Price Is Right? I do, because Holly was the redhead.
Holly was the, yeah, sort
she
of.
She was the redhead.
It wasn't really red. It was more like my color.
Strawberry blonde. Okay. Apparently.
You get to.
Apparently, Bob Barker, who was not spayed or neutered, kind of had relations with virtually all of them. That's the rumor.
It wasn't spayed or neutered?
I don't think so.
Now you can fill your cup with what we're drinking tonight. And Victor, I'm going to say Vic. No, you can't share it yet. You have to stay tuned and you'll find out. Sometimes we're drinking this and the contest, you will get a nice bag of farewell coffee. I drink it every day. I love it. It smells so delicious.
Man, it smells good. Unbelievable.
And we are throwing in a couple of, you know, our koozies that we have here, as well as a book from one of our podcast guests. I might give you whoever wins, I'll probably give you a couple options to pick from. So you'll have a choice.
Yes.
So look at that. Who doesn't want to carry their beer?
Honest Convos, no bullshit.
No bullshit. So thank you, Farewell Coffee Roasters. Thank you, May and Tim. Thank you, listeners. So tonight at midnight, March 13th, sign up, enter often, win great prizes.
Vote early, vote often.
And if you live across the street, Vic and Sue, I'll just carry it over to you. I won't have to mail it. So
yes,
get on it.
It's the Chicago way. You should know. All right. Weird medical condition. Come on, Maze. Drop that one.
All right. You know how I love a weird medical condition. And actually, this one.
Like penis giganticus?
No, we're not.
I'm sorry.
We're not talking about your fantasies.
I'm not talking about myself.
We're not talking about your fantasies.
All right.
Yeah, and no bullshit is what Desiree said.
Ooh.
Nor your fantasies. We are talking. Actually, this happened to me just yesterday.
It did.
And he said, you know, I needed a brain scan. So I have to look it up. Yesterday, our friend was over and it's morning, late morning. We're sitting around in the house chit-chatting. I'm like, something is, you know, that smell when there's an electrical fire about to start. Something's been plugged in forever. A light bulb's got something melty on it. That electrical Bernie smell. I could smell that. It was driving me nuts. No one else could smell it. We go outside. We're sitting on the back. Is it called lanai or patio here? I don't know. Anyway, we're outside. It's sunny. It's hot. And I'm like, I'm smelling burning outside. The door, the slatter was open. I'm like, was something happening? I had our bread maker going. So I'm thinking it's, you know, the bread. I could smell the bread, but I could smell electrical fire. It's burning down the house. No. I said, maybe
burning
there's a fire
down the house.
In the walls of our house. But, you know, we have a bunker. Tim encouraged me. I smelt this all day, all afternoon. And finally, he's like, you're just imagining it. We don't smell anything. You have a brain disorder. So I had to look it up. Oh, it's a lanai. It's a lanai. It's not Hawaii, though. I guess it's a lanai in Florida.
Yeah, it's still, even though it's as far away in the United States as you can get from here.
Do they call it a lanai in the Caribbean, though? It's not a patio. It's not a deck. Not a pool deck. It's a pool lanai. Anyway, let me keep going. I looked it up because there was nothing burning and the smell went away. And actually, lo and behold, when I went to bed and took my clothing off.
And strangely, it wasn't my colon.
It was the shirt I was wearing that I had just purchased. I had not laundered it. It was a new shirt and it had this funky smell on it. That's why I was smelling it. It was this bizarre smell.
That was like that time that you drained that abscess and you had about Mary experience where you had the glob of pus stuck to your hair. And you bitched your brains out to all the nurses that they hadn't cleaned the room. And it was because you had a globule of pus stuck to your hair.
Are we going
literally,
there?
It was. Literally
I haven't even got
something about Mary, except it was pus.
It was something about me. Okay, I have to tell that story now that you dropped that. And then I'll explain the faux smells that people get. People do smell strange things
that
are phantom
exist.
Smells. We'll get to that. So if anyone, without looking it up, can figure out what's the condition that causes people to smell fake smells or what triggers it, write it in the comments. Okay. Something about May happened. Here's the story. I was lancing an abscess. It was a massive one on their back. And I do remember when you get those, actually, no, it was not an abscess. It was a sebaceous cyst that I was trying to remove in toto from the entire capsule. So when you open those up, you want to dissect around them very carefully. Sebaceous cysts are filled with sebum or sweat gland material that...
And it smells horrific.
Yes. Well, if you pop it, you know how those Dr. Pimple poppers, you see those, everybody gets all jazzed about it, but they're horrible. Anyway... When you want to take these things out in one piece, you don't want to break the capsule. No, you want to get it all out because not only do they smell horrific, but B, then if you leave part of it behind, it'll grow back. Okay. So I'm opening this thing up. I'm being very careful to shell around it like a little grape. And of course, what happens is, you know, you're doing that. It's under tension. I think I had to put extra lidocaine in there. Boom, the thing blows. It's under pressure. It goes shooting past my head. I do remember my nurse was behind me near the counter and was looking and she ducked. This thing hits the wall. We were like tee-heeing and giggling. And the patient, of course, now at this point is like, what is that horrific smell? The whole room.
That, ma'am, is your body.
Yeah. The whole room stunk. After that, I got it all, everything removed, sew it up, take care of the patient. The room smells horrible. We lock it down because it stinks for a long time. We go about our day and I'm out there one or two patients later. I'm like, man, I can still smell it. The door's closed to the procedure room. This is driving me crazy. And I'm like washing my hands again. I'm like, why can't I get this smell out of my like nose? I'm blowing my nose. I don't know. I did everything. Probably threw some saline in it. And Lori, my nurse, is like, I don't smell anything. I don't know if you were there. Can't remember if you're working that day.
Well, I was working that day.
I'm like, I don't, nobody else could smell it. I'm like,
I can still smell
it. So what happens is like hours go by and I'm like, this is driving me nuts. So the metal tissue, paper towel dispenser is hanging on the wall right there. And somehow I squatted down, caught my reflection in it and see this big clump of goo right at my temple, right sided. No one else saw it. It was disgusting. It was filling my nostril with horrific smells. And I'm like, okay, at that point, I was about to vomit and throw up because now I have someone else's sebum in my hair. And it was like something about May. So then I proceeded to, you know, soap and water my hair out and freaked out and then carried on and kept working.
So this is a very good metaphor for life. If the entire world stinks, the problem is you.
Yes.
Take that one to the bank.
And that's not the only time that I've had some bodily fluids explode on.
I was working as a hospitalist and the entire place smelled like dog shit until I took my shoes off and realized, oh, yes.
You're kidding. I did not know that.
I had the running shoe packed with dog shit.
Was that from our yard or from?
I have no idea where it was from.
Well, I had a patient that had that, only it was on the insides of his shoe.
Yeah. Okay, we're done.
All right.
Back to the
strange
What is the
condition?
Medical condition where you don't have sebum or dog shit on your body and you still smell things that aren't there? What's it called?
Phantasmia. Yes.
That sounds like kind of like a European what's that called?
Well, phantom
electro,
smells.
Not electro. What's that called? Techno music? That's a European techno music band.
Well,
Phantasmia
comes from osmia, smell. So phantom smell. And this actually condition is very common, mostly in women. Apparently, according to this is on the National Institute of Health, that 1 in 15 Americans will smell odors that aren't there. Things like ashtrays burning hair. Usually it's foul or rancid things. And apparently more common in women, usually from the ages of, 25 to 35, 40. But it's often associated with conditions like Parkinson's very frequently, migraine disorders like pre-migraine, neurologic conditions, strokes, etc., and then nasal polyps, infections in the nose. But it can be a migraine variant or it can be a lot frequently in Parkinson's. So, yeah, I was like, oh, what the heck? So how do you treat this? There's some crazy people. They've done some crazy stuff to get rid of this in some patients. Apparently, there was this one lady who had this go on for like 27 years and they finally went in and did surgery and removed a big chunk of her epithelium in her nose because nothing else was working. So they actually had to remove the little olfactory bulbs where you smell from and eradicated it. Another person, apparently antidepressants will sometimes work because she had some condition for 10 years and her doctor, by happenstance, put her on venlafaxine, an antidepressant, and it instantly disappeared. And then there's other instances where people have that happen with odd smells, and it usually will happen like every single day at the same time from like 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. these clock-like work things, and often that's associated with the neurologic condition that's developing. Parkinson's is the most common, but yeah, there you go.
Phantasmia.
Yes.
All right, what are we drinking?
So I don't have phantasmia. I just had a dirty shirt, I guess.
That would work as well. All right. This is a winner. This is Hangar One.
Can you even pronounce it? Market Lime.
Mark, but it's M-A-K-R-U-T.
M-A-R-K-U-T. Market Lime.
And it's Mark Rutt Lime.
Oh, you know what?
Hooked on Phonics.
It is.
Worked for me.
M-A-K-R-U-T. Macrit Lime.
So apparently these limes are very wrinkly and ugly, but they have this amazing flavor. This, I'm not a big flavored vodka person. I think that vodka should come in vodka flavor. But this one is a winner.
This is delicious. So yeah, apparently it has notes of wood, white pepper, and cucumber, as well as the bold lime flavors. For March complexity, I like the container because it does remind me of organic chemistry. Look at that. It is a non-graduated cylinder, and you could use it for all. I think we want to save that. You could put some fun stuff in there. So Norm's down the street has it. I think it was $29.99.
It wasn't bad.
And I'm drinking mine with lime.
I have a little lime. Tim has and a little lime soda. A little lime soda in there.
Very refreshing.
Complete winner.
And very delicious. So that's the cocktail. So Hangar One, thank you. We would like some more. Desiree.
Hangar One, sponsor
us. And Mitch, please, cheers to the Hangar One. And photo ops coming later.
All right. So you won't guess what's affecting your health now, and you don't even know it.
Oh, I know it.
The show we released this morning, we talk about this, my head explodes. We're going to do this again because this is so egregiously full of shit. I can't believe it.
Get ready. It's going to go off.
I'm going to go off. All right. Am I reading it?
Yeah. So Tim okay. happened to open up our prestigious medical journal.
The Journal
of the American Board of Family Medicine, or what did you call it? JAB FM?
JAB FM.
Aptly named.
Aptly named. Welcome to JAB FM, where everyone is jabbed and we're listening to cool jazz. Yes, that was a song by Steely Dan called Peg. Yes, Peg has lots of meanings. We shall not go into all of them tonight, but this one was just a woman's name here at JAB FM. Yes, we've had lots of jabs and lots of FM. Anyway, so.
You know, if you lose your day job in the clinic.
No, I want to, honest to God, if I could go back in time, I have met these guys. Like, I've literally met these guys that did all night FM in damn near a closet.
Well, my sister did.
And it's just. And
my sister did.
Like, the only prerequisites are you understand the music that you're playing and that you can drink three pots of coffee and smoke three packs of cigarettes.
So you're going to be
in an 8-hour period because you got to get the voice. And the way you get the voice is the nicotine, the smoke, and the caffeine.
I love Nina Blackwood.
No, it's so awesome. If you listen to Donald Fagen's album, who was from Steely Dan, The Nightfly, the album is named after the guy that does the late night FM. Hello, Baton Rouge. I'm the Nightfly. I'm the night FM guy.
All right.
The guy that no one listens to.
All right, Evening Fly.
I love it. Get going. No, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's a great album. And, you know. All right, so the JAB FM came out with, this is the January-February journal. This is a journal of medicine. Here are the articles. A focus on climate change and how it impacts family medicine.
Okay, I got a drink every time you say climate change, right?
Climate change. How will family physicians rise to the challenge? That the next article. How physicians should respond to climate change. Climate change, psychological distress, an underdiagnosed cause of mental health disturbances. Next, when climate change shows up in the exam room. And lastly, climate change and policy reforms, a view from the primary care clinic. Okay. All right. Believe in climate change. Don't believe in climate change. It doesn't matter. The climate changes because climates change.
Are you doing the problem the Steven Crowder and I have to drink? No,
yeah. The problem is not that climates change. The problem is the solution is always socialism.
Okay, wait.
That drives me freaking crazy.
First of all, the whole
shitballs of bullshit does this have to do with family medicine? How about telling me how to cure chlamydia or gonorrhea, where they had a case of gonorrhea 3 years ago in the UK that no antibiotics treated?
I guess there's no cure.
Help me to turn the tap off some guy's draining penis because you don't have antibiotics to treat it. Tell me how to do that. Don't tell me how to preach to people about fucking climate change. I'm sorry. This is bullshit. This isn't medicine. This is political nonsense, whether you believe it or not. Let's just have an issue next month that's all about abortion. How would that go? How to stop abortion? Why abortion is bad? Or why Jesus is the savior of the world and how you can introduce your patients when Jesus comes into the exam room. Let's do that one. Let's just change climate change to Jesus and see if people would like that. Jesus, how will family physicians rise to the challenge? Ooh. How physicians should respond to Jesus. Jesus, psychological distress, an underdiagnosed cause of mental health distress. When Jesus shows up in the exam room, like, people's heads would blow up if you did that. Well, guess what, dipshits? My head's blowing up. If you don't get Jesus instead of climate change, you don't get the climate change bullshit either. It completely drives me insane. And it's shitty science. It's like unbelievably shitty science. And you know what? You know what shitty science gets you? It gets you a fucked up COVID, you know what? It gets you lockdowns. It gets you an opioid crisis because some dumbass wrote an article or a letter to the New England Journal of Medicine about how opioids aren't addictive if you have pain. And now we have 100,000 people a year dying of opioid abuse. No, bad science equals death and mayhem. It drives me insane. I hate it.
And I want to know.
And this is why an X-ray tech that I worked with asked me if I had high blood pressure.
That was the X-ray tech. Yes. That wasn't the PA that asked, you know, why we needed to go to.
I do not rant like this at work, but I sometimes mini rant.
Well, here I'm going to play devil's advocate for you.
Oh, dear God.
I love firing him up more because, you know, it's nothing more fun than watching him pop an extra lisinopril.
Yeah, all because right. There's nothing like gas on a fire.
That's right. And I'm.
And here at Jab FM,
I'm love all gas, about poking the bear.
And we love fire.
Get this. So when climate change shows up in the exam room, probably written by a couple of family practice first year
residents.
I'm not sure. But anyway, I couldn't find what they did. This is what happens because they explain about temperatures and sea levels rising, air quality worsening, and more patient symptoms may be a direct result. This includes, and this is what's happening, the climate change isn't making your room hotter, even though your blood pressure is already boiling. We know it. More cardiovascular events because of the heat, water and vector-borne diseases because the water's hot, asthma triggered by red tide blooms or repeated wildfire exposures, and mental health effects in young adults. Mental health effects in young adults.
Yeah, because you dumbasses are scaring the shit out of people like autism girl from Sweden. Greta Thurn, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. So people come into the office freaked out about climate change. And, you know, all joking aside,
yeah, but
we were talking about it earlier today.
They wouldn't be freaked out about this unless somebody told them, because they wouldn't know.
Right.
It's like, I went outside today and I swear to God, it's at least 2/3 of a degree Fahrenheit warmer than it was yesterday. No one would know. No one would know. I'm sorry, kids. It may be real. The climate may be changing. I don't know that it is substantially, and I don't know if humans have anything to do with it. They might not. But you wouldn't know about this problem, and you wouldn't have a mental illness with it unless you bought into this cult. And that's what it is. It's a cult. It's just like the COVID cult. It's like the opiate cult. It's like a whole bunch of cults. So just, you know what? Get a fan and go to the golf course and have an extra drink and be happy, because there's no reason in the world that this should cause a mental health anything. This is the only,
is what it says in here. It says to enhance family physicians' understanding in the emerging field of climate health, fellowship training programs and residency curricula are available for collaboration.
Okay. If you go to a family physician and they have a fellowship in climate health, run for your life.
Apparently there's,
I want someone with a fellowship in, I don't know, how to not make me die from a fucking infection.
They expect to see much more climate related family medicine research in the coming years. Yes.
Oh, how about abortion research and how, when you have an abortion, it, you know, mentally screws with you. Would they do that? Would they do that one?
Well, here's another thing.
Would they do the one where people that have actually a strong religious faith,
climate,
actually have better lives and die less often? Would they do that one? Or how about the one where people who have really strong relationships and a sense of community actually live longer? Would they do that one? No, they won't. Because those are actually things that work and things that unite us and not things that divide us.
I don't know. Why don't we just go back to focusing on like getting people to quit smoking and eating a bunch of Cheetos and soda? We have to focus on your medication packages, how it's contributing to greenhouse gases. For real. This is what's in here.
So what's a bigger problem? What's a bigger problem? When they went from regular Ventolin inhalers, they had CFC and they had CFC propellant, and that was made illegal. Okay, these inhalers are tiny; they have a few grams of medicine and a few grams of propellant. They made CFCs illegal, and what that did is a $5 inhaler became a $25 inhaler. Because the generic inhalers lost that ability to be generic, and they had to become brand name because the propellant changes the patent. So obviously these little tiny inhalers are completely blowing up the ozone layer and screwing everyone and blowing the planet up. No, somebody lobbied Congress because they had a new patent that they could make a shit ton of money off of. Do I know that for sure? No. Can I show you the documents? No. Do you know it's true intuitively? Yes, because that's how it works. So then we had to go to HFA inhalers, and we quintupled the expense of a drug that at times, especially for children, is life-saving. Because, of course, the climate agenda is 100% about helping people and not making Al Gore rich as shit so he can live on the beach that should be 100% underwater if you believe what he believes about climate change. If you believe climate change is real and the ocean is rising, why would you buy a house in Santa Barbara on the beach? You wouldn't. You're a hypocrite and a piece of crap that loves getting massages in Portland, Oregon. Ooh. If you know that story, that'll creep you out. Thank you, Al.
Well, I don't have much more to add. I was going to go into about how they actually now have an acronym. Well, actually, an alphabet soup thing called CCPD. Now we're going to hear about it.
What?
CCPD, climate change psychological disease.
No, it's just, no, you're just a weak piece of crap.
Also known as climate anxiety.
It's called weakness.
There's a definition for it. A chronic fear of environmental doom, ranging from mild stress to clinical disorders like depression, anxiety, PTSD, and suicide. For real.
I can't say anymore because I'm going to say stuff that's going to get me in trouble. Because if you're that weak that you believe these dipshits and you don't think for yourself, maybe thou shalt not be contributing to the gene pool.
Apparently, there's up to 10,000 respondents now, aged 16 to 25 years in 10 countries suffering from CPD in our youth.
And how many of them are 60? Zero, because they know it's all bullshit.
I don't know here. But all I do know is I got to find that. This is how
CCPD. I'm writing that down. CCPD. Mm-hmm. So it's not
climate
Chinese
change,
communist part.
No.
You know what? It is Chinese communist.
Okay, get this. This is how.
Chinese Communist Party directive. Climate change psychological disorder.
Here's the other thing that they're recommending, and then we'll move on. They're recommending that physicians tell stories about how climate change is affecting their health. I'm now quoting.
Dear God, when we lived in Oregon, I was praying to God that global warming would happen.
Now I'm quoting. Well-told stories by doctors are associated with much credibility. Okay, this is the Journal of American Family Medicine, right? Perhaps this is the story of a colleague who almost suffered heat exhaustion because she did not have enough fluids with her during a long summer hike, or a tribal member who was grateful to have an evacuation kit ready when the Hermit's Peak fire in northern New Mexico forced his pueblo to evacuate last summer. It is important to inspire hope and activation rather than fear.
Yeah, if you're hiking in the desert in summer, maybe you should bring shade and water and not be a dipshit. Because the last time I checked, when they named, I've been to Death Valley. Everything is like furnace of hell. It's like furnace of hell road, hell burning fires of death canyon. Like it's all burning. You know why?
It's summer. It's hot. The sun is out. You're on a hike. You're sweating. Take some damn fluids with you.
Yeah, because it's below zero and it's in the Mojave Desert and it's 9 trillion degrees.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'll just like go barefoot on the pavement. It couldn't be less than.
Blame the government for not putting a Coke machine up there for you. There you
go. Just you.
The Department of Wildlife.
You fat, worthless American bastard. Stop driving your SUV. Buy a Tesla.
No, it's up.
Ask
Subaru Forester.
Ask the Lord Al Gore into your heart to forgive your sin. I mean, I want these people to talk more. Because they're so freaking insane.
We
will change the world with just amplifying their bullshit. Okay. It's so completely insane. Here I am. We are literally interviewing the unoffendable guy who wrote one of the best books I've read in the last several years about not being offended.
And what's happening
to it? I think offended.
I think you're going to win the prize and I'm going to buy you the book. No, I'm going to make you read it again. Take a breath. And let's end in an enlightening, positive story.
Yes. Here we go. Positive. I shall find said story. And well, it's not this one because this one makes me super angry. All right.
Well, I was just going to say, should I give a little teaser and ask if anybody knows what an iron lung is before we even get to the story?
Not an Iron Maiden, an iron lung.
I don't think a lot of people know what an iron lung is.
No, you would have to be at least our age. So, Paul Alexander, man in the iron lung, dies at the age of 78. This is an amazing tale. This guy iron lungs were invented 100 years ago to help people with polio breathe without being intubated. So they could talk, they could whatever. It was like a variable pressure device that would cause negative pressure. You would inhale, it would exhale. It would, this big, giant, god-awful, scary-looking contraption. And you had to lay in this thing. So this guy, Paul Alexander, got polio when he was 6 years old in 1952. And he lived in this iron lung for 72 years. But not only did he live in it for 72 years, he became a lawyer and an author. So just like May, Paul Alexander does his best work on his back.
Okay, I'm shutting your mic off. You won't hear from Tim anymore. Why do I put up with it? All you women listening out there, he's just full of shit. This is the BS part.
Yes.
He is the Marley and me man at heart. He loves me and he's going to work tomorrow and I will spend all his money. There you go. Buying furniture. So Desiree wants to know, is it like a chamber? Yeah, it is. Chamber. Google it. It looks like actually what we would go in for a, it looks like a mini submarine. It's basically a capsule, a long skinny tube that looks like a submarine. Yeah. And did he ever come out of that thing?
We couldn't. So they would have to do hygiene and bowel care and making sure he didn't have, you know, pressure sores and all that with some kind of, I don't know. Yeah, no, he was in it for like literally he was basically a human head that could think and learn and dictate books and all of these things for 72 years.
Damn, that's amazing. I'm surprised. I guess I'm trying to think what else in medicine we have that could, other than a respirator, but then that would be a respirator and he wouldn't be able to talk unless he had a trach. So, wow, that's nuts that they didn't.
I mean, I guess you could get a trach and be ventilated that way.
Yeah.
But then you can't, like, you know, communication is very difficult. I don't know. I mean, I would, as much as I like talking, if I could drive around in a power chair like Christopher Reeve.
Apparently, so they developed these things in 1670. English scientist John Mayo came up with the idea of external negative pressure ventilation.
No, it's exactly right. It's exactly
and
what it
it's
is.
It's like bellows in a bladder to pull in and expel air from your lungs because your diaphragm can't do it. And I remember that the first ones they had, I think, were like wooden boxes or something. And then gradually got these motor driven devices. But wow. It's hard to believe that he was still in there. And that,
well, it's hard to believe that he didn't die of some other paralysis based infection.
Yeah. Cause like actually,
like a bed sore or a UTI or like there's a lot when you can't move, it's not just that you can't move. There's all sorts of other things that go on medically that are complete disasters.
Yeah.
And I mean, he literally grew up, like, the thing that's so crazy about this is, in a way, he didn't lose very much because he didn't know anything other than this contraption, right? It wasn't like he was.
How old was he when he went in it?
He was six.
Oh.
You know, so it wasn't like he was 35 years old and had been super active and then he had to be confined to this prison. Like, he was just kind of born in the prison. And every picture of him, he's like in this iron lung with a gigantic smile on his face, and he was super productive. And I, you know, and it's really inspiring because you think of it, it's like, you know, there's days I can't get off the couch and I'm like, dude, this guy was a lawyer. He went to university in a freaking iron lung.
That's nuts, right? Wow.
No, that is a very, very good story.
It says in 2013, the Post Polio Health International only estimated that 6 to 8 iron lung users were left in the U.S.
Yeah.
And in 2017, it says they knew of no one. Where did he live?
He might have been UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what ultimately killed him? Climate change!
I was going to say, no, he probably had like some tick fly in and bite him or something.
Yes.
Wow.
No, it was like, that's a good story.
Okay, no, if he's an American lawyer.
Yeah.
He lived in Dallas, Texas.
He's the last iron lung survivor.
Wow. Yep. Dallas, Texas.
Can you imagine though, like if he was like a trial lawyer and they wheeled the iron lung into like court?
He wrote a book.
Yes.
3 Minutes for a Dog, My Life in an Iron Lung.
Yeah.
Wow, that would actually be really interesting.
No, we should read that, I think. Can you imagine though if they
and like, Vic, if you win, you're getting that book.
Yeah, if they wheeled him into the courtroom, it's like, I can understand what's going on. I'm in a freaking iron lung. I don't get out much, and even I understand.
Wow.
That you, sir, are guilty.
Oh my. All righty, moving right along. While we still have some listeners.
It's like that.
There's not many comments from the.
It's like that unthawed caveman lawyer.
The peanut gallery. But
remember that from Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Phil Hartman, unthawed caveman. I'm just a caveman that your scientists thawed out. And even I understand that you're guilty as hell.
Man.
I want to do that.
All right. Any other listener comments? You know, Sue or Vic or Desiree or the other poor three people still out there, let us know before we sign off here.
Are we doing St. Patrick's Day or not?
Well, you know, this is St. Patrick's Day
weekend.
Is it always on a Sunday? I don't know.
It's the 17th of November.
Oh.
No, March. No. Okay. Whatever the hell this
whenever
month is.
Whenever the 17th is. So this week it's on a Sunday. So what? Are you making green pancakes? No. Food coloring. What are we going to have? You're going to have broccoli. I'm going to cook.
No, I'm going to eat green food dye. On the 16th, so on the 17th, I can have a St. Patty's Day patty in my toilet.
I'm gonna make you some broccoli.
Yeah.
We have to mention it now that we did it earlier. Two physicians, it was hilarious, that taught us back in the day, one was an obstetrician, one was a pediatrician, and man, was it hilarious when the two of them were together in the
delivery room
at the same time. Because the Irish accents were flying and the comedy was stupid and the cursing was continuous.
Yeah, why is it when people from Scotland, Ireland, or Britain swear, it's just kind of delightful? I mean, it sounds terrible to say that, but... And then they got them guilty, you know.
They got excited when it was St. Patty's Day because they had a big party and they did have green beer. And I remember one of them brought his little daughter... in a bride costume or something.
No. It was Halloween. And
Halloween?
No, yeah, it was the Irish. It was Halloween. I remember I was working in the ER. He comes into the ER and he's got God knows how many kids, right? You know, like it was just, you know,
he has this
really cute little girl who's his youngest. And she's in a bride outfit, like a, you know, a bridal gown for a kid. And he's like, you better put your veil on, sister. Or no man will have ya. And I'm like, well, they're scarred for life.
Yeah, she didn't.
No man will have you. And then the obstetrician. So what happens in deliveries is you get a very intense delivery where there may be not damage, but there may be trauma or stress to the infant, and you want the pediatrician there to immediately resuscitate the baby or whatever, right? So every once in a while, as fate would have it, they would get together. And then I remember it was the year after we graduated, one of the residents asked the obstetrician, how do you do a forceps delivery? Well, forceps deliveries are essentially like metal salad tongs. That's what they look like.
On either side of the baby's head.
And you slide them into the birth canal on either side of the baby's head, and then you lock them together, and then you pull the kid out.
By the head. With the salad tongs.
Correct. And
they're more like giant meat hooks, but anyway.
Yes. And so...
How did he put it?
He said, you put the right blade in, and then you put the left blade in. And then you lock the blades and you yard like fuck.
And that sounds really delightful for my pelvis, is what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about the poor mother on the other end?
Well, she's got a beautiful baby. And the next baby will just come sliding right out.
That beautiful baby was going to look like a peanut.
Oh, for a while, the human head will come right back, you know. We're very resilient. You give him a couple shots of Irish whiskey, the Jameson, and the kid will be just fine. No man will have you.
Exactly.
You got the forceps.
You better
it's
be
not
wearing
the bridal veil. It's the forceps that no man will have you.
You wear a veil all the time. continuous fail. All right, I'm ready for some green diet sous this weekend. I hope you have some green drinks on the celebration on Saturday. That's a little inside information for anybody
inside
listening.
Baseball.
Tomorrow on the podcast, Thursday, our guest is actually one of our sponsors from Set for Life Insurance. It's Jamie Fleischner, who's actually going to tell you the importance of having disability life and the proper policy of insurance for you. It's really pertinent, especially for those of you in medicine where, you know, your income is a reflection of your talents and your hard-earned time in school.
I love the quote she says, where she's like, if you bought a $10 million house with a mortgage, would they make you get insurance? The answer is yes. Well, if you are upper middle class or physician income, you'll earn more than that in 40 years and you won't insure it.
Stupid.
Yes.
And, you know, we talked before about this, but most people don't realize that. I forget how many is it? One, is it one in four people will go out on disability at some point in their disability? Man, that takes you out. And
yes,
that's almost more important. So anyway, tune in for that. It's really a great episode. And of course, I'm going to remind everybody again, the contest ends tonight at midnight. You still have time.
Is it midnight Pacific or midnight Hawaiian or midnight Eastern time?
I'll let it be midnight Pacific because that'll give our West Coast friends, Westies, a little extra time if they're night owls to stay up and get her done because I'm not staying up at 1 a.m. counting the boats. So
No, because midnight Eastern is 3 in the morning and I guarantee you I'll be sleeping.
No. Midnight Pacific is 3 in the morning Eastern.
Yeah. Whatever. I've had a little bit of the green hanger one, you know.
All righty. That's it from us. So glad you're here. We do appreciate our fans. And with that, wait for Truth Serum coming out this week. Cheers. We'll see y'all next time.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time. So we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BSFreeMD. See you next time.
Well, we try to keep BSFreeMD as raw and real as possible. We can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.